Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Let's turn to Genesis 17. This evening, we're going to study together Genesis 17 and the verses 1 through 10. Here's the word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to express our love to you and to your Son by being obedient to you. So we need to be transformed into the image of Christ. Please renew our heart in righteousness and holiness. Let us hold fast to our confession that we have been saved by Jesus Christ. So at this time, we want to worship you as we listen to your word. Please let us have the attentive heart and teachable heart as well. Let us have the genuine love for one another because we love you so much. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Abram was found by God when he was 75 years old, and Sarai was 65 years old at that time. So in our passage, we can tell that 24 years have passed since they began to follow God. 24 years. The question is, how long have you been a follower of Christ? 1 year, 3 years, or 10 years? Maybe some of you have followed Christ 50 or even 60, maybe even 80, more than that. But another question would be, what has it been like when you look back upon your Christian life so far? Have you learned that your God is faithful? Your God is a faithful God to you. I hope you trust that your God will be continually faithful to you as He has been faithful to you. Then what about this? Have you learned that your God, or even my God too, so our God is an almighty God? In other words, El Shaddai. There's nothing impossible with our God. He overcomes anything or everything to accomplish what he plans to do. That's what God is teaching Abram in our passage. He says, I am God Almighty, or in a fancy way, El Shaddai. So by the time when you leave this sanctuary today, your mind or brain will be stuck with this word, El Shaddai. El Shaddai. I'm going to repeat maybe 1,000 times today. So be ready. So there is nothing impossible with me. I am Almighty. That's what God is teaching Abram. And then God said, therefore, walk before me and keep my covenant. So I want to study this passage with two observations. First, realizing that God is El Shaddai. Second, responding to the fact that God is El Shaddai. So first, realizing. Second, responding. But to give you a heads up, I'm not going to touch the important doctrine of infant baptism, of which many preachers speak while they are preaching on this passage. That's why I cut by the verse 10, you know, a little awkward way. So don't, you know, rebuke me after the service that why didn't you mention anything about infant baptism? Don't do that. I'm going to run away right away then. So first, realize that God is our El Shaddai. Let me read the last verse of the previous chapter, so Genesis 16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And then our text, Genesis 17:1, Abram was 99 years old. So now 13 years have passed since the in chapter 16. And God suddenly appeared to Abram, and he is saying to Abram, I am Almighty. But still the question is, why that long? Why does God make Abram wait for that long period of time? To some degree, we are all familiar with God's seemingly slow pace of his own work. Why does God keep us waiting and waiting and waiting for many times? So we often feel like God is so slow with me, but not with others. So Abram has waited 13 years more. The question is, was his waiting for the last 13 years a waste of time? Obviously, you should say, no, it was not a waste of time. Because Abram and Sarai were not born into this world to have their own biological child. And based upon the fact that he and his wife were children of God, we can confidently say that their own waiting time has been a precious time to them. It's because I believe they grew, they became more mature, and they learned more about the truth that they are not in control of their life, but God is in control of their life, so they are under God's control. As you remember, Moses, similarly, when he was 40 years old, Moses, he was fired up to serve God's and God's people. He wanted to be used by God, so he was really willing to do anything for God or for God's people. But interestingly, God did not use Moses at that time, and he rather chose to use Moses when Moses was how old? 80 years old. So 40 years have passed, and finally, when Moses was 80 years old, God appeared before Moses, and he revealed himself to Moses. So I am that I am. Why did God have to make Moses wait that long? Simply put, Moses had to be humbled. He had to learn that It had to be God's way, not his way. He had to learn that God is sovereign over his life and all his kingdom. So he revealed that he's I am who I am to Moses, which means I am what I will be, and I am what I was. And the ultimate reality of the whole universe, everything this whole universe finds their ultimate ground or ultimate reality in me only. So, Moses, I am here. I am your God. I am that I am. So you should know who I am, because that's the beginning of your wisdom. Likewise, in our passage, God made Abram and Sarai wait long, and then he revealed himself to Abram, saying, I am El Shaddai. That's what you have to learn throughout your life. So I want to say this way, the reason God keeps us waiting many times in our life is because he does not want us to wait. Did you get that? What I mean by that is, God does not want us to be obsessed with that certain thing to take place. So God doesn't want us to just wait for that certain thing to take place. That's why God makes us wait, and so that we can realize that we should learn about God. That's the most important thing in this life. We are supposed to learn who God is through our life or through our waiting time. The truth of the matter is that no one can change God's plan, no one can overcome God's power, and no one can be independent of God's sovereign ruling. So God says, I am Almighty. What I plan, I'm going to accomplish. No one can intervene me from what I want to fulfill. So that's El Shaddai. Now, I want to see the connection between his self-revelation, El Shaddai, and his covenant. Verse 2, I may make my covenant between me and you. Verse 4, behold, my covenant is with you. And also God says in verse 7, my covenant is an everlasting covenant. So what we have to learn or catch from our passage is that the El Shaddai is still the same to bless Abram in his covenant. God has not changed. God made the covenant with Abram for many years ago, but God is still faithful to his own covenant, to his own servant, Abram. It's because God's almighty power is fully committed to this covenant for our salvation. His heart, his wisdom, and his everything, literally, his power, his whole being is offered to us through this covenant. So God's covenant with Abram is unfailing because he is almighty. Through this unfailing covenant, God is going to bless Abram everlastingly. Verse 5, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. So here God is changing Abram's birth name into Abraham. What does that imply? Very simple. In this covenant, it's not just a kind of formal thing that we are making between among us. It is actually a personal thing. You are what you are by me or in me. I can call you. When I call you, you become mine. And you can call me as well, El Shaddai. Through this covenant, you can pray to me. You can talk to me. Then I will answer you. You can call me by my name now. Also, I'm going to call you by your name that I am giving you. You are mine as I am yours. I am El Shaddai, who secures my own covenant for your salvation. Therefore, walk before me. Why? I want to be with you, right? Come to me, walk before me, because I want to talk with you. Abide in me. How then did Abram respond to God? Verse 3, Abram fell on his face. He bowed down before God. He expressed his adoration, his praises to God, and he gave glory to God. What about us? Do we worship God? Obviously, we worship God. But when God reveals himself to us, you know, personally, do we bow down before him out of love, out of our obedient heart to him as Abraham did? Actually, we are in the second part of the sermon already. So it's responding to God Almighty. When God meets with us, he asks us to be faithful to him because he is faithful to us. So we must glorify him. We must give glory to him. So let me read verse 1, verse 9 together. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Verse 9, God said to Abram, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. As we studied this morning, God's covenant establishment is one-sided, but the covenant accountability is two-sided. Let's remember that Abraham has been a believer for many years. So in our passage, God is not establishing a brand new, like another covenant with Abraham. Rather, God is teaching Abraham that I am still faithful to the covenant. And I am renewing this covenant every day. So I am reaffirming my own covenant that I made with you. So Abraham, I want you to know how much I am, how much committed I am to this covenant. So our salvation, as you know, is initiated or established only by the grace of God, which means it is one-sided. Our salvation is always initiated, established by God's mercy alone, one-sided. But our growing in this covenant blessings is dependent upon our faithfulness to God's covenant. So it should be mutual. So it is two-sided. But the important thing is that God already knows that we cannot keep it perfectly. That's why God is saying to Abraham, keep my covenant, because I made it unbreakable. I initiated, and I started it, and you cannot break it. And therefore, you should keep my covenant. You might fall again and again, but I'm asking you to be faithful to the covenant. Whenever you fall, repent and come back to me. Be faithful to me and to the covenant. So our covenant keeping to God or to his covenant is empowered and motivated by the fact that he has been faithful to us and will be faithful to us. That's the fundamental ground. So because we know that he has been faithful and he will be faithful to us, we are motivated, we are empowered to be faithful to our God and His covenant. Let me bring three implications of our being faithful to God's covenant. More specifically, I want to infer three pictures of our covenant-keeping life from the circumcision, or from the implication of the circumcision. First, distinction. Second, declaration. Thirdly, devotion. Distinction, declaration, and devotion. Number one, distinction. Verse 9, God said to Abram, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised." The circumcision shows us that God requires something unique of us. This unique distinction makes us look different among other people, because it is a lifetime change once you get circumcised, and you cannot revoke your circumcision again physically. So wherever you are, actually you are telling others that you are set apart for God. You belong to God. So you proclaim to others that you are God's child, God's covenant child. Therefore, we must think about some questions at this moment. Is the world around us able to observe from us that we have a different life purpose? In other words, are our co-workers or classmates or neighbors, are they able to see that we have a different life purpose? Can they say that we live not for ourselves? We are set apart for someone, and we live for someone who is Jesus. Can they tell that you live for God? Can your neighbors, or can your co-workers really say that, "Oh, wait a minute, this person doesn't live for himself or for herself. It looks like she lives for God. It looks like he lives for Jesus." They must see something unique in the way we live our lives. And second, declaration of El Shaddai. Our faithfulness to God's covenant testifies God's power, or God's presence being with us. Once you get circumcised, it takes about a week to walk in a clumsy manner, and it takes about a month before you can even run in a limited way. What I want to point out here is that the whole household of Abraham became totally defenseless. Does that make sense? Totally defenseless. They became unarmed. They became unguarded against any attack from any people. They cannot now protect themselves. They cannot protect their wives and their children. That's what God asked them to do. And as you know, Jacob's two sons, Simeon and Levi, were able to demolish the whole tribe very easily. Why? Because the male there were circumcised, so they could not defend themselves. Two men were able to demolish whole tribe. And in our passage, that's what God is asking Abram and his household to do. Become defenseless, because I am the one. I'm the one who protects you, actually. It's not you. I am the one who is taking care of you. So by our keeping the covenant, the people around us should be able to see that we are totally reliant upon God's protection, God's wisdom. As we do so, we are declaring that God is with me. Even though you don't see Him, but God is with me, protecting me. Now, thirdly, devotion to El Shaddai. Our covenant keeping is first and foremost a matter of the heart. So, are we devoted to Him? Are we single-minded for Him? Are we committed to God's precious covenant? There's no in-between. Either you follow Christ or you follow your own glory. Either you deny yourself or you deny Christ. So let me quote Romans 2:28. No one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. So we have to think about this a little bit more. God asks us to be faithful to Him. So we should be set apart, and we should be devoted, and we should declare that we are God's people. God is with us. But the question is, do we want to do that? If I just stop here and close the sermon, it's nothing but a moralistic preaching. The question is, many times, why we don't have that desire in us? We don't proclaim many times that God is alive with us. By our way of life, by our words and the way of our life, people cannot tell that we live for Christ. Do we really have the desire to be obedient to God? Do we want to follow Him? Do we really want to deny our own desires or selfish desires in order to glorify our own God? It's really important, or an important question. We have to ask ourselves again and again, do we know God? Do we really follow God? Has God ever revealed Himself to us that He's El Shaddai, and I want to be with you? So dear brothers and sisters, I don't know when I will be back to this pulpit again. Maybe in 1 year, maybe in 5 years, who knows? So I'm thinking that maybe it's going to be my maybe last preaching for a while. Maybe. So I wanted to say to you that God is trustworthy. I want you to trust Him more. I want you to entrust yourself to Him more and more. He's trustworthy. He's so precious. He's attractive, if I may say that way. Christ is attractive. The God who says, I am El Shaddai, is an amazing God, is an attractive, the most beautiful God. So you must be able to want to be with Him. Lord, I want to be with You as well. You have never left me over the last decades. I have become many times unfaithful to You. But now, again and again, You are renewing this covenant of grace for my salvation. You are revealing that You are El Shaddai. Your power, Your love, Your whole glory are engaged in this covenant. And I am invited so that I can talk with You. I can have supper with You. Eat together with You. Dear my friends, I want you to follow Christ. I want to discover more and more how beautiful our God is. I want you to love one another. I want you to serve this church more and more. I want you to be more generous in your giving. I want you to be more generous in your time and energy for this church. He is El Shaddai. So this evening, he wants to renew, reaffirm that covenant that he made with you when you were found by him. When you first confessed that, Lord, I belong to you. Lord, I now see that you love me. That same God has never left you. He's here. El Shaddai, be faithful to me because I am faithful to you. Because I love you, walk with me. Abide in me. Abide in me because I'm not going to leave you. I want to reveal myself more and more to you. Dear Cedar Church, let's glorify our God. Let's really love him. Let other people know that Cedar Church members love God so much, love Christ so much. Let's pray. Oh, Father, bless us. And bless us that we can confess to you that we love you. Out of love, we want to be obedient to you. Out of our wonder, we want to entrust ourselves to you. Please be with us. Let us see the glory of Christ. Let us love one another here. Let us forgive one another here, and let us see your Son who dwells among our gathering. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.